Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Bhavam Pisa Parampachakacharya Astatara Satishi Shimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Bhavam Mahamasa Parampachakacharya Astatara Satishi Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Ki. Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki. Rain Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki. Shri Shri Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mayapur Dham Ki, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki, Nuraman Reti Dham Ki. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. Hare Krishna, so today we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, verse 27. I don't know if they're going to put that up there or not. 927. Let's see here. Okay. So I'll just chant it. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajohosi didasi yat yat tapasyasi kante yat tat karusha madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So I'll read that one more time. That's really something, what Krishna's saying here. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So the purport. Thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together, and Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live, therefore he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies, therefore Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practiced in this age, not always practical. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, there you have it. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that as son of Kunti as an offering to me. So, we all kind of examine ourselves and think, well, am I doing that? You know, or how close am I? How far away am I from being able to do that, from being able to mold my life in such a way that all of those things are happening? You know, we're very fortunate because when Srila Prabhupada came to America in 1965 and started chanting in a little park in Tompkins Square Park in New York and gathered a following, he set up a program. He set up a whole program for the devotees to be able to hear the Bhagavad Gita every day, taught them how to cook, taught them how to offer, taught them how to do everything. And any temple you go to all around the world, you'll find a similar program taking place. So what is it that inspires someone to be able to take this to heart? I'm asking a question now. What is it that can inspire one to actually do this? That everything they do, everything they eat, everything they offer, everything they give away, Manga Ganesh Puro.
It must be the mercy of the Lord in their heart.
Okay, yeah. It's the mercy of the Lord in the heart. It comes about through love, right? Love, it's like when you love someone, you automatically want to do something for them. So sometimes loving God can be something very perfunctory, you know? Like someone says, well, you know, I really love God, I'm really a lover of God. So God may think, well, how does that look like? Well, how do you show that? Just like a man may say that he really loves his wife and his family, but if he sits home all day watching television and, you know, eating potato chips and sour cream and doesn't pay the bills, you might think, well, that's not really love. So we're so fortunate to have this process of devotional service so we can show our love. You know, so many things can be going in our life. We can be going through a hurricane, and often are, especially in Kali Yuga, in our lives going through some kind of a storm, perfect or imperfect. But this practice of devotional service by chanting Hare Krishna, by offering our food, by doing, you know, all different kinds of services, we can connect ourselves. Now here it talks about the perfect yogi. I mentioned that in the last sentence in the purport. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena taratmana shradavam bhajate yomam samme yuktam vatomataha. Out of all yogis, who abides in me with great faith, rendering transcendental loving service, is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. So, you know, it also mentions austerities, all austerities you perform. So we all are familiar performing austerities. You know, every day, generally people have to get up early and they have to go to work or they have to go to school, there's something, and that's austere. Sometimes you don't really feel like getting up and going to work or going to school, but you do it because, you know, like it mentions in the purport, you have to maintain the body and the soul. You know, you have to do that. So there's all different ways to perform austerities, and the Bhagavatam really explains in great detail, you know, austerities that are in the mode of goodness, and austerities that are in the mode of passion, and austerities in the mode of ignorance. So there's many examples of austerities in the mode of ignorance, great trouble that people go to without really thinking about, well, what's the goal? Like Vrikasura, this is a story in Krishna book. And Vrikasura was the devotee of Lord Shiva, and he had a plan. And he wanted to get a benediction from Lord Shiva. So what he did is he started to offer pieces of his flesh. If you can imagine, that's quite something very austere to do, to cut off pieces of your flesh, and he wants to offer it to Lord Shiva. So he did that. He still wasn't getting much attention from Lord Shiva. So he decided, okay, I'm going to sacrifice myself like an animal. You know, at that time they would take animals, they would wash them clean, they would sacrifice. And the beauty of those sacrifices was that the animal took a higher birth. So it wasn't that he just died. He was actually benedicted in a certain way. So Vrikasura decided that he would cut his head off. Think about that. That's a pretty hard thing to do. But he started to do it, and Lord Shiva appeared, and he was like, whoa, what are you doing, and why are you doing it? And he said, well, I want a benediction. Lord Shiva says, okay, what do you want? Well, I want a benediction that whose ever head I touch it'll explode and they'll die. And their chief is like, oh, okay, you've got it. So that's the difference between the demigods and Krishna. Like the demigods, if you give a certain amount of worship, they're bound to give you a certain result. But Krishna's not like that. If you can worship Krishna, you can ask for something, his devotee, Krishna might know it's not good for you and he won't give it because that's how much he cares about you. He's not going to give you something. He's not going to give you enough rope to hang yourself. So anyway, Vrikasura got the benediction and immediately, you know what he did? I know some of you know what he did. But he went running after Lord Shiva. He wanted to touch his head. He wanted just the person that gave him the benediction. This is really in the mode of ignorance. He wanted to explode his head so then he could get with his wife. That was his plan. So Lord Shiva's running. He's running from place to place to get away from this madman. And he's going from this planet to that planet. And Lord Narayan hears about it. So he intervenes and he gets in front of Vrikasura and he says, wow, you're running really fast and you look so tired, O son of Shakuni. And Prabhupada mentions that because he mentions the name of his father, it kind of touches his heart a little bit and he thinks, oh, this must be a friend of the family. He knows my father. And he says, you know what? He said, there's been a lot of problems with Lord Shiva lately. We're actually quite worried about him. And I'm kind of worried that the benediction you think that you're getting, it's not going to really happen, you know? So what I recommend is that try it out first. And if it doesn't work, we're going to really get on Lord Shiva's case and let him know that he can't just go around giving benedictions that don't work. So Vrikasura thought about it, thought it was a pretty good idea, and he touched his head, and it worked. His head exploded. And that was the end of Vrikasura. So perfect example of austerity done in the mode of ignorance. And what was his goal, you know, to like commit sinful activities. So there's a lot of austerities done. I mean, you know, if you look at, Wall Street or even in India, probably just always give the example of people, you know, riding the train, you know, for a couple hours there and back and then working all day. And he'd say, you know, the animals, they're able to, you know, eat a little bit of food and they still have enough time to like associate with the other animals and have a little bit of sex and they're completely happy. But the human being sometimes works so hard for so little. So other stories too, like with Hiranyakashipu, for so long, you know, just standing on his tiptoes and just being covered with, for so long, you know, just eating roots and then just drinking water and then nothing. And he meditated for so long, there's actually a big anthill all over him. And finally, Lord appeared to him, Lord Brahma appeared to him, asked him, well, what do you want? Because I want to be eternal. And Lord Brahma's like, I'm sorry, that's not possible. I'm not eternal, so I can't give you that benediction. So he thought about it. Okay. Well, all right. I don't want to be killed in the land or the air, you know, or the water. And he had a whole list of things that he wanted that he thought was perfect, that he would never be able to be killed. But of course, Krishna's very intelligent, and as it turned out, Hiranyakashipu was killed on the lap of Lord Nrisimhadev with the Lord's nails. He was able to fulfill all the conditions, and he was still done in. So all these austerities, and Hiranyakashipu just wanted to be able to control the world. And control is a big thing, right up there with beauty and fame. And you know, you just want to be able to control people. It's actually one of the mystic powers of being able to control people. So Ravana was another one who, so many austerities that he performed to be able to be, you know, king of the world, so many riches, so many women. But even with all that, he wanted to have the wife of Ram, you know, and it's a whole story, but ultimately he was also, you know, killed by Ram. So we have to really think about what kind of austerities that we perform and how is it that those austerities that we perform, how we can offer them to Krishna. So some of them are obvious. You know, devotees, just like today, the deities are so beautiful, and devotees spent days making the garlands and planning out all the little garlands that are coming down from their hair. And even if you look at their feet, there's little bracelets that are made from flowers. So that's an austerity, but the austerity was the difference between an austerity in the mode of goodness and austerity in the mode of passion or ignorance is an austerity in the mode of goodness. It's something that's done out of love. And when you think about it, what does God need? You know, God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need any foot bracelets or hand bracelets or garlands. He doesn't need anything. But he wants the love that when we left the spiritual world, we took that with us. So we are being trained now to be able to show that love again. So some of it is very obvious. People are cooking for God, or they're going out and they're talking to other people. They're giving people books about God, which is a very, very exciting, a very fulfilling service. I know many of you were involved in that for many years and still are. And that's very dear to Krishna, that service. Anything that we can do, and even if we're working, we have the option of throughout the day remembering, because that's one of the devotional processes. Hearing, chanting, remembering, you know, serving the lotus feet of the Lord. So remembering him throughout the day, and maybe also, you know, we bring some prasadam, some blessed food to work, and we're able to share that with other people. That's also an offering of love. So there's many examples of people who performed austerities in the mode of goodness, like Dhruva was one example, a very small boy. And he went through a very unfortunate situation, circumstance, where he was the son of the king, and the king had two wives. And when Dhruva went up to get up on the father's lap, the second wife objected. He said, "Oh no, you can't get on your father's lap, you know. If you want to get on your father's lap, you have to be born again in my womb, and then you'll be able." I'm like, whoa. You know, she was pretty heavy duty. So Dhruva, you can imagine this little boy, how hurt he was. And he immediately went to his mother and complained and said, "Mom, this is what happened." And she said, "I'm so sorry, but it's true that he cares more for this other wife. But don't worry. Just pray to Krishna. You know, pray to Krishna." Because he just wanted to be able to have a kingdom that was bigger than, that's all he wanted, something small, a kingdom bigger than his father's and a planet bigger. So he decided he was totally going to go for that. And he went into the forest and he started to pray. And he also performed severe austerities, standing on one foot, just eating food and fruits from the forest, and then just eating bark from the trees, and then just drinking water, and then drinking nothing. And finally, Krishna does appear to him. And when he sees Krishna, he's like amazed. And he thinks, "What was I asking for?" Because there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that goes, "Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udara dik tibrena bhakti yogi na jajeta purusham param." It says, whatever you want, whatever it is, worship me. Worship Krishna. Even if it's something material, even if it's merging, you know, of course, if it's something spiritual, that's better. But whatever it is, you can go to me, because basically all desires are ultimately filled through Krishna. Even they be offered to the demigod. Krishna's empowering the demigods. So when Dhruva saw Krishna and saw his beauty, he realized it wasn't really what he wanted, was his own planet. Even though he got it, he really wanted just to serve Krishna. So as we're performing our austerities, we have to think about what it is that we really want. Because it's a material world. Even Prabhupada was giving the example of how, you know, people, they want to be rich and they want to be famous. You know, it'd be fun, right? Somebody just won the lottery. It was like some billion dollars, you know. And you think, wow, what I could do with $1 billion, I'd do this and I'd do that. But the truth of it is that if you do research, and lottery winners, most of them, end up in just terrible circumstances. You know, they lost their friends are trying to get money from and their family, and then they feel like they don't really have any real friends, and you know, they misspend their money. So, you know, Prabhupada mentions that even if you're born into the family of the Rockefellers or, you know, the Bezos or, you know, whoever, you can't get away from birth, death, disease, and old age. No matter what, you can't get away from it. You can't get away from, you know, the three miseries, adiatmika, adibhaitika, and adidaivika, the miseries of the mind and the body, miseries from other living entities, miseries from natural disturbances. Like we see in the West, there's so much drought. I mean, big, big problem, you know. What are they going to do? The lakes are drying up. What does it say in Bhagavad Gita? Rain comes from yajna. Rain comes from sacrifice. I remember one time in India, they were having a terrible drought somewhere. The devotees went there, and they had some kind of a big, long kirtan, and sure enough, the rain started to come. So we're lucky here, maybe because of all the chanting, all the devotees, that we get regular rain, and we've got the springs and all of that. But yeah, what we really want, what we're really asking for, is peace, peace of mind. That's what we're looking for. It also says in Bhagavad Gita, Nihabhikramo Nashusti, Prachivayo Navidite, Swapamap Yasya Dharmasya Mato Chaite Bhavat, that even a little advancement along this path. He said there's no loss and there's no diminution. But even a little advancement on this path of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. And you think about how much fear there is in our world today. There really is a lot of fear, like, what's going to happen? What about in the next election? What about politics? You know, what about health? What about monkeypox? What about COVID? You know, we've seen so many of our God sisters and God brothers very sick or losing their lives to disease. So these things are always there. And no matter the highest planet, all says Abrahma, Bhuvanaloka, Puna, Avartina, Arjuna, from the highest planet in the universe down to the lowest, all are places of misery when repeated birth take place. But one who attains my abode never takes birth again. So that's the freedom from fear. When we know what we want, we know where we're going, and we know how to get there. You know, you've got the recipe. So even though you may get, you know, sidelined here and there, the fact that, you know, you're chanting, the fact that you're performing devotional service, the fact that you're sharing this process of devotional service for others. I was thinking about Jayananda. Jayananda, a very famous person or movement, very early on was a very devoted servant of our Srila Prabhupada. And he gave one of the first donations to Srila Prabhupada, like $5,000 he gave for Prabhupada to print some of the books. And also he was always engaging other people when he would go to the market to get you know, leftover produce, because the devotees were so poor, you know, and he would get them to donate, you know, different fruits and vegetables. And when he passed away, and these people at the market found out about it, they were actually crying. They were so upset. Where's Johnny? They called him Johnny Ananda. Where is Johnny Ananda? What happened to him? How did it happen? He wouldn't even tell anybody that he was sick for so long. You know, they said, Johnny Ananda, are you taking proper prasadam? You know, does anybody know what he said? He said, I've got plenty of prasadam, and when I run out, I just take the axle grease from the wheels of the chariot, and I just eat that, you know? So he was an amazing example. When he was in the hospital dying from leukemia, and some of the devotees went in to visit him, he was lying on the floor. There he is, Jayananda, why are you lying on the floor? He said, well, I have nothing really to give to Prabhupada, so I decided I would give him my bed. He had Srila Prabhupada's picture on his bed, and he was offering that to Srila Prabhupada. So whatever situation we're in, like it says, patram prishvam phalam toyam, yome bhakta prayachati. Krishna says, if you offer me with love a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. So we can have a little picture in our homes, you know, or a big altar, either one, but we're offering those things. And Krishna's accepting the love and devotion that we're giving. And that is how anyone can become peaceful in that situation. I was listening to a lecture by Raghunath Maharaj, and he was explaining how one season in Mumbai, it was so hot. The devotees were so hot that they decided they would take a trip to the Himalayas, you know, and just experience the cool air. So they got together a group, and off they went to the Himalayas. And sure enough, it was just what they were looking for. It was just nice, cool weather, and they were doing kirtan, enjoying themselves. And then all of a sudden, it's like something started falling from the sky. They were like, wow, the demigods, they're showering flowers on us because of our kirtan. They were so excited. But it kept on coming, and then it became more obvious what it was. Actually, it was snowflakes. And as it kept on falling, the air kept on getting colder and colder. They were freezing, they were shivering, and they didn't know what to do, you know? They didn't really bring that kind of warm clothes. They weren't expecting it to snow, you know? They're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So they ended up going into a temple and having a super ecstatic kirtan, and that's what made them happy. You know, Matra Sparsista Kante Ashutosha Tsukadukada Agama Paino Nicha Tamta Tiksha Shavabharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception only of Sayana Bharata. We have to learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So it's hard. It's hard not to be disturbed when things are going on, you know, in our families and in our community, you know, in our world. It's hard not to, but ultimately we have to remember that, you know, Krishna's in control. And by serving Krishna, that he gives us that shelter. There's a beautiful story in Krishna book about how Krishna has a headache. And the known remedy for a headache is actually in the Bhagavatam, that a little dust from the feet of a brahmana, that will cure a headache. So they're going around looking for somebody that will give the dust from their feet. So they go to the brahmanas, you know, well, can you please give us some dust from your feet so we can give it to Krishna, cure his headache. They're like, we can't give dust from our feet. We'll go to hell if we do that. Well, that's true, they'll go to hell, but at least Krishna will get his headache cured. So they're going to everybody, you know, they're going to the demigod. The demigod says, no, I can't do that. You know, I'm just afraid that I'll go to hell. But when they went to the gopis, the beloved servants of Krishna, they didn't hesitate. Right away, they were willing to give the dust from their feet to Krishna to cure the headache. So that's the amount of love they had. They're not looking for any personal reward, you know? And of course, a pure devotee, he doesn't ask for anything material. And it's interesting because I've been saying the prayers for Gajendra pretty much every evening because my daughter's been really, really sick. And Gajendra, it's an incredible story because in his last life, Gajendra was a king, King Indradyumna. And he went to see a sage at his ashram. And that sage was in such deep meditation that he didn't welcome him properly. So Indradyumna took the garland and he kind of threw it at the sage. And the sage was offended and he cursed him to become a dull elephant in his next life. So that's Gajendra, he's a dull elephant. Luckily for Gajendra, what was special about Gajendra the elephant? He remembered some prayers that he learned in his last life. So he started praying because what happened with Gajendra, he was in the water and he was enjoying with all his elephant wives. And all of a sudden, a crocodile came, and the crocodile grabbed onto his foot, and he was really holding his own for a long time, but because the crocodile was in his element in the water, Gajendra started to fail, and he realized he was losing the battle. So he started praying to the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayers. And Krishna came down on Garuda, and Gajendra said he picked up a lotus flower out of the water as hard as it was, and in as much pain as he was in, and he offers it to Krishna. And Krishna immediately took his disc, he cut off the head of the crocodile, and he gave Gajendra back his spiritual body. And actually the crocodile took his spiritual body as well. But it just shows how, again, how a little advancement on this path, you know, how it can save someone, it can save animals, it can save, you know, it can save elephants. You know, even if you think of the story of Jed Barrett and the deer, and, you know, because he became so attached to the deer, he took a deer body. And in the Bhagavatam, it's kind of like trying to figure out, well, how did this happen? Because he was on the platform of pure love of God. You know, there's different stages of advancement in devotional service. Starts out with Shraddha, you know, hearing. And then Sadhusanga, an association with devotees. And then Bhajana Kriya, you know, you're performing devotional service. And then Anartha Nivritti, you're getting rid of unwanted habits. And then, you know, Nishtha, you become steady with your service. And then Ruchi, you're gaining a taste. And then Asakti, you're attached to your service. And then Bhava, love of God. And then finally, Prema, pure love of God. So Bharat, he was at the stage of Bhava, of love of God, but because he became distracted, you know, he became distracted because of the deer. And when he fell, he was thinking of the deer, became a deer. But in the Bhagavatam, they're thinking, well, was it because of something in his past that he did? Is that why he took a deer's body? Is that what happened? Like his fruit of activities finally caught up with him? Because it seems so unlikely. And Prabhupada says, no, it wasn't that. That the devotees' fruit of activities, they're burned up just like that. So just chant the Hare Krishna mantra once sincerely, just like that. And all your sinful activities from your past lives are burned up. We still have to keep chanting because the root of sinful desire, you know, Kama Asha, Krodha Asha, Raja Guru Simran Bhavan, Mahashano Mahapatma, that it's lust only Arjuna, born of the material modes of anger and lust, you know, that all devouring enemy. So with Maharaj Bharat, Prabhupada said, the reason he took the deer body, it's become, he became a little careless in his service. You know, he became distracted with the deer. Instead of like worshiping his deity, he was like, the deer would nudge him and he'd pet the deer. So he wanted him to just understand how relishable it is to worship the Lord. And he put him in the deer body, and sure enough, Jed Barrett remembered his past life, and he just spent his time near an ashram and meditated on Krishna. So Krishna did it out of his infinite kindness. So as we see in our lives more and more, Krishna intervening in our lives out of his kindness, you know, different things will happen. I know in my life, things have happened that I don't understand. I can't figure out why. But as a devotee, we have faith that Krishna knows best. After all, how many lives have we been in this material world? You know, bhutva paliyate. Life after life, we've been engaged in doing what we thought was the best thing. And here we are, you know, in another material life. So we have to have faith that somehow or other Krishna's leading the way, that he is going to bring us back home to Godhead. And we're just going to try to follow that path of devotional service and develop our love to there's six principles of devotional service that are mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction. And let's see, I know what they are, but just in case I forget, they utsaha nischaya darya tat tat karma pravartanat sangha tyaga satovrite sadvir bhakta prasidyati. So the first one is enthusiasm. And the second one is endeavoring with confidence. The third one is patience. The fourth one is acting according to religious principles, devotional principles. The fifth one, associating with devotees, you know, that's so important. You see that everywhere. And abandoning the association of materialistic people. Now, you know, Prabhupada was very broad-minded in terms of what was a devotee. You know, people would come, and sometimes devotees would be criticizing maybe someone who's a Christian person. No, they're devotees. Someone who's theistic, they're considered to be a devotee. But to try to stay away from association with someone who's just 100% bona fide materialist, just interested in money and sex. I mean, it doesn't mean we can't give them some prasadam, we can't give them a book, but it means that we wouldn't intimately associate with a person like that because we don't want to be infected with that material disease, that lust after money. Because people who have money generally, they just never have enough. Someone was telling me about a friend of theirs who had like so much money that they said that if they worked for 1 week, they would have enough money for their whole family to live on for the whole rest of their life. But would they do that? No. You kept on working for more money and more money and more money, basically because they don't know what else to do, you know? They don't know what else to do. We're so fortunate. We know what to do. We know what the process is. And just like we know it's working because the Prabhupada says, just like when you're hungry, and you sit down and you eat a meal and you're full and you feel satisfied. When we perform devotional service and when we chant Hare Krishna sincerely, we feel satisfied. It's the solution to everything. It's not based on how much money you make. It's not based on how you look. You know, it's not based on, you know, if you're a great athlete. It's not based on your body at all. You know, it's only based on your love for Krishna. And you can find total satisfaction in just a very simple life. Like, you know, you go to India and some, I remember there was some study done one time, where are the happiest people in the world? And the result was there was some town in India that was the happiest place in the world because they lived a simple life, but they were happy. They weren't hankering for something else. They had their little deities, they had enough, you know, money or, you know, they grew their own food and made their chapatis and offered them their deities. And really, what more do you need? Prabhupada said real land, real wealth is having land and having cows. If you have land, you can grow your food. You have cows, you can have your milk. And you have your little deities and you can be happy that way. So anyway, those are the few of the points that I wanted to make. If anybody has any questions or realizations or additions they'd like to make. Yes. Yes.
I was wondering, first I want to say thank you very much for giving class today.
Thank you. And it's always daunting.
It's beautiful to hear from you. Thank you. I was wondering if you could speak a bit about how to discern between the desire to control and doing our duty.
I think in one sense it's pretty easy to tell. And I think the difference is when you can feel your false ego getting involved in it in terms of control. Let's say, you know, the temple president, and you have to figure, is this my responsibility? You know, if it is your responsibility and you're doing it for the benefit of the person or the people, then you're rightly situated. If it's not, you know, if you just go up to somebody and start bossing them around, chances are the person's not going to like it very much, you know, because everybody has their... And there's a way to do it, too, right? Like, you can kind of go in like a lamb and out like a lion, kind of like that. So I think, you know, we always have to check our own false ego to see... if it's the overlording propensity that we're fulfilling, or if it's a genuine concern, loving concern, for helping to elevate someone. Is that helpful? Okay. Yes. You got me, Ken?
Thank you for such an enthusiastic presentation.
Thank you, Ragami. She's the most enthusiastic.
Your enthusiasm is contagious.
I have to say, on Harinam, if you ever want to see enthusiasm, you go to Harinam on Friday nights. You see Ragatmika talking to the non-devotees, and just she like reels them in. She reels them in, and it's just so
all
wonderful.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada, giving us the real thing to offer to people. In any case, this verse, like Krishna says, you know, offer, or whatever you eat, offer to me, and like that. And then he adds, whatever you offer or give away. What is that?
Well, I think he's talking about charity.
Okay, that. So only give charity that will be pleasing to Krishna.
Yeah, like, because it's interesting, even charity is in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. It's like foods are in the modes of goodness, passion, ignorance. Practically everything is in those modes. So it's like when you give charity, you know, to someone who is worthy, it's very beneficial for the person who's receiving and the person who's giving. Generally, in the mode of passion, you're giving like, I'm going to give this to Krishna because I hope he showers me with wealth or something like that. Or the mode of ignorance, you're giving, you know, you give something, money to a person, and then, you know, it's like, you know, there's so many people, and it's so unfortunate too, so many people at the lights and they're begging and giving some money, and maybe they use it to go get some alcohol or some drugs. I try to keep some prasadam in my car, you know, or some pamphlets, at least I can give something. I like to give something. But I think that's what they mean when they say giving away. Make sure you're giving in the mode of goodness.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is from years ago, but it really did happen. I think it was the girls in the ashram. They had told the story to Satsarup Maharaj, and Satsarup Maharaj told it on a morning walk. That I think it was in New York City. There was somebody begging, and so they were giving him a thing to come to the Sunday feast, and some, you know, free feast. He said, "I don't want food. I want money. I want money so I can buy whiskey and I can go to the movies."
Yeah,
so that's not the charity in the mode that we want.
Yeah, yeah. There, and that's, you know, that's a good example of the mode of ignorance. Anyway, thanks everyone for your kind attention. Prasadam is ready. Hari Hari Bol. You could ask me a question then.